Karim Benzema was Real Madrid's hat-trick hero for the second Champions League game in a row, this time in a 3-1 win at Chelsea. In fact, it was a special evening for both Spanish clubs in quarter-final first-leg action after Villarreal shot Bayern with a 1-0 home victory. We discussed stunning headers, halfway line efforts and broken records after great drama in the UEFA Champions League. Well, welcome along. I'm Rob Daly and here to look back on tonight's two quarterfinal first legs, one of which was Stamford Bridge between Chelsea and Real Madrid. Phil Blacker and Chris Parrott. Gents, what a game and what a story.
It's a super game, wasn't it? Obviously, Karim Benzema with the hat-trick is going to hog the headlines, but it was an outstanding team performance as well in support of him by Real Madrid. Brilliant performance from them, and they are on the brink of the semi-finals.
And they could, Rob, have scored four or five. Benzema definitely could have had four himself, but we're talking about one of the greatest goal scorers ever in Champions League and European Cup history, and he proved for the second round in a row just what a special player he is. He was unplayable, Karim Benzema.
In the Knights of the Tight, Villarreal welcomed Bayern, and John Bradley, who joins us as well, it went well for the home team.
It did. You know, 25 matches away from home unbeaten in European Champions League, UEFA Champions League football for Bayern. The last time they lost was to Unai Emery's Paris Saint-Germain in September 2017, and they lost 3-0 in that game, and they could easily have lost this game 3-0, and the tie could realistically be beyond them. They'll be very relieved that they've just got a one goal deficit to overturn in Munich when the game goes back there in 6 days' time, because they were very flat tonight by Villarreal, though excellent, and unfortunate not to win by more.
OK, a reminder of how things finished up in the quarterfinal first legs on Wednesday. Chelsea 1, Real Madrid 3, Villarreal 1, Bayern 0. And on Tuesday, of course, we had Benfica 1, Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1, Atletico 0. You could check out last night's podcast for the reaction to those games. But let's get into the Wednesday drama. And we begin in England, Chelsea hosting Real Madrid in the next stage of their title defence.
Vinicius Junior is in behind, cuts back the cross. Karim Benzema is on the end of it and heads Real Madrid into the league. 20 minutes into the first leg of this quarter-final, and it's the Real Madrid captain, Karim Benzema, who has opened the scoring.
The finish was great, but the build-up from the France international was majestic. What a footballer.
Modric playing the pass towards Valverde, who has Carvajal in support from full-back as well. He's gone back in field, though, to Luka Modric. Benzema again has scored again. It's another brilliant header from Karim Benzema. A couple in a matter of minutes to make a massive difference in this quarter-final. Jorginho, he will clip in the cross. Kai Havertz on the end of it, and Chelsea right back in it. What a crucial contribution just before half-time in this first leg from Kai Havertz.
Oh, it's an error.
Benzema is in for the hat-trick here, given away by Edouard Mendy, and Karim Benzema has scored and races away in celebration. Back-to-back hat-tricks in the Champions League for Benzema, but gifted to him really by Mendy. And Chelsea's defence of this trophy is in big, big trouble against the 13 times champions. It's Chelsea 1, Real Madrid 3.
We heard Phil there, he was on commentary, and he's with Chris now and myself. Phil, it sounded like it did you, and it certainly did Mendy and us as well. That third goal just caught us out after half-time. But let's go back to how things unfolded. Chelsea had Reece James back in the team available. Real Madrid went with that extra midfielder in Federico Valverde. And I think it suggested to us, perhaps, that Madrid were going to be compact and defensive, a bit like they were against Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16, but that didn't really happen.
No, that was the inference, really, looking at the team sheet, wasn't it? But the approach was like chalk and cheese from the first leg of the previous round, because they looked a real threat every time they went forward, did Real Madrid, which was very frequently in that first half. It was a wonderfully open attacking game, exceeding my expectations at, you know, the start of a first leg of a knockout round tie. To see them going toe-to-toe in the manner that they did was absolutely brilliant. And Real Madrid had
the major chance to score at 0-0 before Benzema got involved when Vinicius Jr. ran through, and he was causing Chelsea all sorts of issues getting in behind down that left-hand side and blasted one against the bar. But then, of course, Benzema takes over two in 3 minutes, changing the dynamic almost completely and stepping up to hog the headlines.
Two fantastic headers, let's be honest. The first one after an amazing move, which he was part of a first-time pass to Vinicius Junior with the outside of his right boot, and then he followed the pass into the box, and he was a long way out and he got enough power on the header to beat Edouard Mendy and put it in the top corner. And then the second goal was from a sumptuous Luka Modric cross, but the way that he cushioned the header back from where it came on, and it just dropped perfectly into the back of the net. They were two of the finest headers that you could ever want to
very
watch.
Different.
Very different.
Kind of headers,
but you never see two headers like that in the space of 3 minutes from the same play. It was brilliant, and they were in control. And actually then before half time, before Chelsea scored, he missed a huge chance. Perhaps just after Chelsea got their goal back. Benzema should have had a hat-trick before half-time.
That was the best chance of the lot, wasn't it? The clearest opportunity, which went wide, in complete contrast to those two headers, which I think probably the greatest compliment I can pay him is that he made them look not necessarily routine, but fairly easy. Didn't break sweat, really, in sticking them away in such a nonchalant fashion. Went extraordinarily difficult skill to execute. And he just stepped up and put them away, put Real Madrid in charge. And, of course, later went on to wrap up the hat-trick.
Yeah, well, he was getting through some notable stats as the game went on. For starters, it was 5 goals in the space of 50-something minutes, given he scored a hat-trick against Paris in the previous run in that quick-fire treble in the second leg in Madrid. The first goal made him the fourth player ever to reach 80 Champions League goals. He's now one of an elite group with Ronaldo, Messi and Lewandowski to do that. The Chelsea goal, and this was a bit of an issue I felt from Chelsea, Chris, is that they just lacked that pace, that intensity that we've come to associate with them. The Kai Havertz header seemed to reignite it a little bit anyway before half-time.
It was another lovely... I mentioned the ball from Luka Modric, or the ball from Jorginho to find Havertz.
Very similar.
Quite similar. Yeah. And Havertz, it's a really, really brave header. Dani Carvajal, I think, was the defender who was trying to clear it, had his foot up, approaching Havertz's face. He had to keep his eyes on the ball. He got enough power to get it beyond Thibaut Courtois. And at that stage, after 40 minutes, you thought, oh, here we go. This now is... A real test.
Crowd
got up,
didn't it, as well?
Crowd were up. Yeah. It was that classic Thomas Tuchel football. Chelsea were pressing and were intense, and you thought, if not before half-time, either half-time, they may well now go and make it 2-2, and then who knows? And then, of course, I mean, as you heard from Phil's commentary, within a minute of the restart, the entire game plan... Was gone.
I mean, the Havertz goal had set the stage for Chelsea, and as you say, it had given the whole place a lift. Thomas Tuchel had made 2 attacking changes at half-time. He'd made his intentions very clear, and you sense the stage was set for the Chelsea revival, maybe, or at least to give it a really good go to try and get themselves back on terms. And then, a minute into the second half, when there looked very little danger, Mendy in possession inside his own half, and all of a sudden they're 3-1 behind. Benzema's got his hat-trick, and they're chasing it against the side who can defend those sort of situations better than most.
Yeah, Benzema shutting down a keeper as he did for Loris Karius 2018 final, Sven Ulreich 2018 semi-final. And when I tweeted it earlier, everyone was like, don't forget Donnarumma the other week. Did it against Donnarumma for one of the goals the other week. He's unbelievably persistent. So at 3-1, what do we make of the Chelsea response after that? We obviously saw a wonderful save from Thibaut Courtois back at Stamford Bridge, keeping out Athabil Equeta. The Lukaku header, he came on, he had his chance. He hadn't had much of the ball to that point, so can we forgive him missing that header a little bit, Chris? No, is the answer.
No, I mean, I was trying to think, but I think at the quarter-final stage of the Champions League, when you're 3-1 down at home, that has to go in. That has to go in. And, you know, had it gone in, it could have been very different because... You know, we sit here thinking that Real Madrid managed a game well, and I think they did, but that there were two very good opportunities. The save from Courtois that you mentioned was magnificent from Azpilicueta. It was an absolute... He couldn't have caught it any... I think you called it the sweet spot that he hit in commentary, Phil, and it was arrowing into the top corner, and it was a brilliant save. But they had their moments, Chelsea, to make it 3-2, and had they made it 3-2, the crowd would have been up. Would have been a very difficult end to the game for Real Madrid, but those moments didn't go Chelsea's way, and it means that Real Madrid are in a... I mean, they could not have dreamt of being in a better position ahead of the second leg
at
home.
And then they just managed it well, didn't they? They managed it well towards the end. In terms of some of the broader talking points about the game, I remember last year after the semi-final where Chelsea beat Real Madrid at Stamford Bridge to secure that final against City, a lot of the talk was, is that midfield three sort of done at the highest level? The Casemiro, Modric, Kroos midfield three, that was the combination a year ago. I did double check to make sure we didn't get that wrong, because N'Golo Kante was fantastic that day, but they went with it again, and I thought first half they were ridiculous against you. They've still got it.
That's
still
in their pomp, right?
As they have been for a lot of this season, really. I mean, you think surely at some stage they're going to start slowing down, but there's not really been any evidence of that. There was a nod when Camavinga came on late in the game as to the future direction that midfield might take, which is some pretty enviable options as well in that respect. But I think the fact that he is still on the fringes at the moment, only getting little cameos off the bench, is because those familiar three are still every bit as good as they've ever been.
And I think that they had the energy and the pace in Fede Valverde and Vinicius Junior, who I don't think we should overlook. I thought both of them were fantastic. Vinicius Junior caused Reece James and Andreas Christensen so many problems in the first
That's
half.
That's a good pairing. I mean,
that Christensen was taken off at the break, and they tried to change things. Valverde was more all action. I thought he put himself about, and so Chelsea had those really quick players to worry about, and I think that enabled them, Modric and Casemiro and Kroos, to just do what they do and what they have done in this competition better than perhaps any midfield over the last 10 or 20 years. And they're the platform for Real Madrid, and when you have a man like Benzema up front, you know if he gets a chance, more often than not, he's going to take it.
Now, well, let's hear from David Alaba, who's given his response after being asked about Benzema post-match.
Crazy. No, it's amazing. How he performed this season and also this years before, but especially this season. When I arrived here, I can really see him working very hard to be successful, and he's living for this. He's really living for this every single day. I can see him being very hungry, wants to be successful, wants to win everything, every game, how we prepare for the weekend, also for the matches like this, and he's so important to us. This is what we know, and I'm very glad to have him in our squad.
David Alaba there, making his 100th Champions League appearance tonight, first Austrian to do that. Benzema is 34 years of age, and he has become the first French player to score 10 or more goals in a single campaign in Champions League history. Thierry Henry in the stands watching him do that in the west of London. And I suppose the combination of him and Vinicius Jr. is a talking point. They've combined for 5 goals now this season, more than any other duo in the Champions League. I mean, we're seeing this sort of generation of players, these mid-30s, Lewandowski guys, and Messi and Ronaldo, of course, as well, who just keep on going. Just keep on going. And there's, I mean, he looks better than ever, Benzema. I don't think I've seen him play as well as this.
I think being captain of Real Madrid and being the person that everyone relies on, I think has helped. He's you watch him around the squad, and yeah, we've mentioned those three very experienced midfielders, but you know, he walks around with the youngsters like Camavinga and Vinicius Junior, and he's the guy that's done it, seen it. And there's something about this club, I think, that when you can become a true legend of the game at Real Madrid. And I think since Ronaldo has left, Benzema knows that it's now on him. And some players don't like that. I get the sense as a character he does. And, you know, the way he was walking around on the pitch at full time, the way he's conducted his post-match interviews, he just looks like...
He's got that leader thing.
He does.
Embraced that role.
Yeah, he has.
He's really relished it. And the numbers, Rob, back up what you're saying, that you know he is as good as he has ever been. I think 37 goals now in 36 games this season in all competitions.
It's ridiculous.
And that's before you touch on all the assists and everything else that he brings to the team. He's not just a goal scorer, is he? He's the all-round forward right now.
Let's hear from a delighted Real Madrid goalkeeper, Thibaut Courtois, pleased with the result, of course.
It's a big step to win here in Chelsea. It's always a difficult game, and to have a very good victory is a really good result. I think we had some good chances to even deepen it out the result, but then also them, they had some good chances in the second half, so for us a 1-3 is a good result. We defended well. I think the problem also with the goal of them that we were too deep in our area, and then you invite them to put crosses, and the same happened in the second half, and Romelu had two good headers that were away. So that's something we need to better in the home game. You know, we cannot give them hope to score an early goal and then maybe a second. So we have to play a good game like today, be composed on the ball, find the space, and I'm sure we'll have our chances to score.
Maybe having his best season as Real Madrid goalkeeper, Thibaut Courtois, he produced the save of the game to keep out Azpilicueta in that second half. We'll discuss this game more shortly. Chelsea 1, Real Madrid 3. Let's look ahead to Wednesday's other quarter-final match.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at UEFA.com/UCL feeling and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
Okay, well, the other quarter-final tie on Wednesday saw Bayern travel to Spain, where they met a formidable Villarreal.
That's nicely played, and Gerard Moreno now on this near side. The Villarreal right has support alongside him. Foyt arriving. That's a good ball down towards the byline. And pull back the shot. It's in. Turned home. A little bit inadvertently, but Dan Juma was there after the initial strike from Lo Celso. Wasn't cleanly hit, but what a start for Villarreal. Inside 7.5 minutes, it's Villarreal 1, Bayern München 0.
Well, it would be the only goal on the night as the yellow flags were being waved around Villarreal's famous and charming home. They've beaten the German champions and will take that lead to Munich for next week. John Bradley on commentary joins us now. John, we'll get to all the positives and what a great night it is for Villarreal. But was there a sense for you that they'll perhaps rue the fact that they didn't come away with a greater margin of victory?
Yeah, I think on a night where Bayern underwhelmed and will be very disappointed with their level of performance, I don't think, you know, on a night where we focus on one of the great old strikers in UEFA Champions League, in Karim Benzema, the man who is his equal, some will say better, Robert Lewandowski right now, hardly had a kick in the game and was hardly involved at all. And it was just the way that a disjointed Bayern played. They were a little naive at the back as well, and there was real vulnerability about their game and so many chances. Gerard Moreno hitting the woodwork, sending a shot just wide from inside his own half after an awful ball by Manuel Neuer. Pedraza missing with a goal at his mercy. Danjuma missing a great chance as well to make it 2. But it was Danjuma who got the goal. He was singled out before the game by Julian Nagelsmann as a top European player, as a half winger, half centre forward, and it was his goal which was enough on the night. One thing you'd say about them is Unai Emery is a workaholic, and he studies games inside out, doesn't he? And you guarantee he'll have a game plan for the return game in Bavaria next week. But, you know, Bayern, I would still say, are favourites to go through, even though they've lost this game. It's one that they've probably got away with tonight.
Well, let's hear from the match winner. Arnaud Danjuma still feels there's room for improvement for the yellow submarine.
I think that we are still a lot better than what we showed today. I think the possession play, I think the counter-attack, there's so much more that we can gain from the counter-attack. Just a couple of decisions up front, I think. But again, if you win 1-0 at home, you win 1-0, you need to be happy, you need to take the win. But, I mean, against Bayer, you know, the next game when you play away will be difficult. They have always the quality to bounce back, so we need to be focused and prepared for it.
In terms of the team news for this one, Villarreal went with that front three of Lo Celso, Danjuma and Gerard Moreno, recently back from injury, which seemed to work pretty well. Bayern went with Musiala in midfield instead of Leon Goretzka, who returned recently. A return for Alphonso Davies after 4 months out with that heart condition. But where did things go wrong for Bayern? I mean, from what I saw in that first half, John, they were very flat. They were shots from range, wasn't it? And not really anything troubling the keeper.
Very hard to find a way through, in truth. Pau Torres and Raúl Albiol, you know, two great old defenders, just so good at the back for Villarreal. They know their jobs inside out. They've been around a long, long time now, and they were so solid and well covered as well by Foyt and Estupiñán as well, the two fullbacks. But in midfield, you know, they just couldn't get on top, and Capu and Coquelin and Dani Parejo were absolutely everywhere. It was just a great shift. And the one thing you would say about Villarreal that Bayern will have to be aware of, they're better away from home in Europe than they are at home. Remember that the great win on match day 6 at Atalanta to go through from the group phase, when it looked as though they were going out after defeat against Manchester United, and then of course that heroic, quite brilliant victory at Juventus in the return leg after the 1-1 draw at home in the last round. So, you know, a big opportunity for Unai Emery and his side. Worth remembering, he's won his last 21 two-legged ties as well. I mean, it's an astonishing record. And of course, Bayern had a 25 match unbeaten run, and the last man to beat them away from home, when they've been away from home twice in the UEFA Champions League, Unai Emery, Paris Saint-Germain back in 2017 and now tonight.
And of course the second leg, Johnny, is only in 6 days' time, so very quick turnaround. Second leg against Salzburg in the last round, the Austrian champions were very open. I imagine that Villarreal, well, do you think that they'll go with a similar game plan to that of Juventus when they really frustrated them and then of course completed the job and went through?
I think the job, Chris, will be that they will be very compact and very organised and very disciplined. But what they have is special players who can create something at the other end of the field. You know, Gerard Moreno and Danjuma, very, very dangerous. But we picked him out before the game in Giovanni Lo Celso. Such an intelligent player who can get into good areas, break the lines, and then release players as well. Such a good left foot on him as well. So that will be crucial away from home. They put in such a shift as well, that front three defensively as well. But quite often in that second half, they had 11 behind the ball and then counter-attack with real intensity and real pace. And Bayern will have to be aware of that. You know, they're still getting their full side back. Rob mentioned there, Goretzka and Davies back. Nicolas Sula as well, coming back as well from injury. So they're not at their best, even though they are running clear and breaking records for fun in the Bundesliga at the moment. But, you know, we're at the business end of the UEFA Champions League here now, and nothing comes easy, does it?
It certainly doesn't. Onur Tanjuma, by the way, after his goal, is Villarreal's top scorer in Champions League history. His 6 goals coming in 9 games in the competition. I mean, you know, Chris, you were on the show covering the game when they beat Juve 3-0. Where does this sort of compare to the two? Would the Juve game probably be a better one in the club's history? I mean, they're making history this season, really, with this run.
Yeah, I mean, they've been to the semi-finals once before. Yep. Worth reiterating, this is a town of 50,000. 50,000. I mean, Bayern Stadium holds significantly more than that in 6 days' time. I mean, the fact they went through against Juve would mean at the moment, yeah, it probably is the greatest success, but certainly from listening to John's commentary and from what he's saying now, I thought in terms of a 90-minute performance, it was almost more impressive. I think many people in the last round, perhaps unfairly on Villarreal, but looked at some of Juve's weaknesses. I think tonight they showed, actually, they are a serious, serious football club who have, over the course of an entire 90 minutes, outclassed Bayern, who before this evening many people thought were one of the favourites to go all the way, and still might go all the way, which I think is testament to just how impressive Villarreal were.
I mean, the lineup at the moment for the semi-finals is Villarreal, Liverpool, Real Madrid, Manchester City, as things stand. The first legs of the quarterfinals are over, but we don't have to wait long to find out who will officially make it through to the semi-finals. The Champions League is back next week. The drama is guaranteed. If recent years are anything to go by, the second legs of the last 8 are normally pretty special.
And the first leg lead is wiped out almost immediately. They're surely into the semi-finals.
Roma had to score 3 times, and score 3 times they have done.
And it goes into the 6-yard box. Oh, they've turned it in! This is quite remarkable. It's the substitute, Fernando Llorente for Tottenham. It's 4-3 to Manchester City. It's 4-4 on aggregate, and Tottenham are going through.
De Ligt with a header. Brilliant. Absolutely wonderful
that so well. And Matthijs de Ligt, the 19-year-old captain of Ajax, with a goal worthy of any captain of any side. Juventus 1, Ajax 2.
Coutinho goes for goal! What a strike by Philippe Coutinho! It's absolutely brilliant! Coutinho sends Barcelona into the semi-finals of the Champions League. Barcelona 3, Manchester United 0 on the night. 4-0 Barcelona on aggregate.
And then the shot flashes home after a mistake at the back. Suarez's goal drought has ended. Barcelona have their three-goal cushion once again. The mistake by Fazio, I think. And Barcelona lead Roma by 4-1. Chingizunda with the corner, flipped goalwards, and in by Kostas Manolas. And as things stand, Roma are knocking Barcelona out of the UEFA Champions League and taking place in the semi-finals for the first time in 34 years.
Szczęsny in for the sent-off. Buffon, can he deny Cristiano Ronaldo? 97th minute of the match, Ronaldo scores! Cristiano Ronaldo, an incredible night! A night that looked to be slipping away for Real Madrid, ends with them heading into the semi-finals after all.
Oh, this is a classic, an absolute classic.
Well, some inspiration there for Bayern, Benfica, Atleti and Chelsea. Lots of comeback goals in quarter-final second legs. We heard Llorente for Spurs against City 2019, De Ligt for Ajax against his future club, Juve, Coutinho for Barca against United, and that famous Roma comeback against Barcelona as well. So the second legs will get underway next week of the quarter-finals, where Chelsea will be trying to turn things around against Real Madrid after a 3-1 defeat tonight. Phil Blackett and Chris Parrott, your commentary team. Let's get your players of the match for this one, gents. Starting with you, Phil.
I'm glad I went first.
Oh, yeah, so, OK.
It's
I was
fairly
looking at you and I thought, come on.
Has to be Karim Benzema, doesn't it? Back-to-back hat-tricks in the Champions League. Astonishing.
OK, Chris, you can have another second to think of someone else. First of all, let's hear from Real Madrid's head coach Carlo Ancelotti, beginning his reaction.
Honestly, we had a good control of the game. We were good to build up from the back, dangerous in counter-attack. So it was a good night, but it's only the first half of this round. And we have to look forward, prepare the next game.
So relaxed, isn't he? Carlo Ancelotti back at the club after departing Everton in the summer. Chris, have you got your player of the match yet?
Yeah, aside from the man who got three goals, I thought Vinicius Junior was excellent. I thought he really caused Chelsea problems, and he had end product, and he was, along with Benzema, I thought one of the two best players on the pitch.
OK, let's turn our attention to Chelsea, here from their head coach Thomas Tuchel, who had strong words for his team.
It was one of the worst first halves that I saw from us here at Stamford Bridge. On this kind of level, you cannot play like this. This was individually as a team, and from all of us was by far not enough. We were like not doing what we were used to do, and far, far, far from our standards. And then you lose games. I will make sure that everybody processes this, because this is the absolutely most important now. Because if we keep on playing like this, we will lose in Southampton, and then we don't need to think about Bernabeu. We will get hammered in Bernabeu.
Yeah, strong words from Tuchel, not mucking about after the weekend defeat at the hands of Brentford by 4-1 in the Premier League as well. OK, let's go to John Bradley. John, you get the final word for the panel. Your player of the match from Villarreal against Bayern. Lo Celso, by the way, got the official player of the match.
Yeah, I think you could say Pau Torres, you could say Raul Albiol, you could say Lo Celso, but just because of his mercurial little talent that he is, and he was a thorn in the side of Bayern all night, I'm going to give it to Gerard Moreno for nearly scoring from his own half.
Okay, John, thank you very much, and thank you to Chris and Phil as well for your company this evening. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Our live commentary show returns in just 6 days' time, Tuesday the 12th of April from 8 p.m. CEST, for full coverage of the quarterfinal second legs between Real Madrid and Chelsea, and Bayern against Villarreal in Germany. And don't forget, on Wednesday as well, of course, we'll have the conclusion from Anfield of Liverpool against Benfica. Liverpool 3-1 up from the first leg in Portugal, and we'll be across that really tight encounter in Madrid as Atletico host. One of the favourites to win the competition, of course, Manchester City. Kevin De Bruyne's first leg goal, the difference between the two teams. And you can listen to Tuesday's podcast for a full review of that. Don't forget to download our show shortly after every single match night. Just search for Champions League on your preferred podcast provider, and I'm sure we'll be there as well. But for now, from me, Phil, Chris, John, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.